Good afternoon, church. Guys, I traveled all the way from Reading today. I didn't realize it was that far. So you're going to have to do a little bit better than that for me. Okay, let's try that one more time. Good afternoon, Cambridge Church. That's better. I feel a bit better. I'm going to start with a story. 2 weeks ago, I had a car crash. What did I have? Somebody crashed into my car. It was not my fault. Let me just make that clear. So I was just driving down a single carriageway, minding my own business, and I was approaching a roundabout about 20 to 30 meters further down the road. And this guy in an aerial atom, does anybody know what an aerial atom is? Are there any car enthusiasts? So we know we're on the same page. So for those of you that don't know, it's basically like a cross between a Formula One car and a go-kart, which is roadworthy. So this guy, he was driving this car, which is a really nice car, and it's open cockpit, and it has no traction control. And it's raining, and it's at nighttime. So he's exiting the roundabout, which I'm entering. And so as he exits the roundabout, he accelerates a bit too hard, and the rear wheels spin up, and he starts to snake, and then he misses my driver door, but he hits the back of my car just behind my driver's door, and he smacks into the back rear right wheel. Now I actually never actually saw him because he's down here in his little machine, and I'm up here, and I was just driving along the road, and all of a sudden I just feel a shunt, and I was thinking to myself, did I just hit the central reservation or something? Was I not concentrating? And I get out of my car, and luckily I got a witness. I called the police straight away. You know, you just go into action mode when those things happen, and you just make sure you get yourself covered. And I saw about 30 meters down the road this what looked like a kit car with its front right wheel completely broken off. And praise God, he's actually alive, all right? And because it's actually quite dangerous, because we were traveling about 50, 60 mile per hour down that road, and you know, if someone had actually hit into him, he could have actually lost his life. So that's the most important thing. But the purpose for this story is simply this. I then texted my friend, because I had to do something that evening. I said, I'm not going to be able to make it. And he texted me back, and he said, oh, praise God that you're alive. Or praise God that you wasn't injured. And it just got me thinking, you know, we in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, we have all these cliches, and we hear this phrase used quite often, praise God this, praise God. I'm not saying that's wrong or there's anything wrong with that, but I like to think about things. So I thought to myself, why are you praising God that I'm okay? Because let's put another spin on it. What if I wasn't okay? Would you then still praise God? What if I actually got injured? Would you then reply back saying, praise God you got injured? Or what if worst case scenario happened, it was a fatal crash and I died, would you then praise God? And sometimes we need to be very careful with our line of thinking, because I do not believe God is sitting there in heaven looking down on this earth and casting judgment on every single action, every single event that takes place, i.e. you can have a car crash. You can't. You can get injured. You can't. You can die. You can't. You can have this disease and you can't. And when we get into the serious things like you can get raped and you can't, then we start to put these simple phrases into perspective. And sometimes we naively try to place God in certain situations where what we need to do is actually seek God individually, actually personally walk with him and talk with him. And there we understand that no matter what we go through in life, he is with us. But our perspective and our focus should be on heaven, on the eternal, so that no matter what we go through in life, the reality is that God is in ultimate control of this world. Did you hear me? What did I say? He's in what? Ultimate control of this world. So he spoke this world into existence. And the reason why we're here today is because he said so. That's a serious, powerful dude. And so God is in ultimate control, but he set things in motion. And so you want to know who's actually in control of this world? We are. Because if I pick up a gun and I shoot someone, is it the devil's fault? Is it God's fault? Or is it my fault? Because we have the power to choose. And unfortunately, this person, he chose to accelerate a little bit too hard, which means he lost control of the car. And if he had accelerated even harder, we could have had a head-on collision, and then I may not have been here today. This is the reality of life, but this is the perspective that we need to have as Christians. Church, I'll be honest with you today. I actually don't want to be here. Is that okay? Is that okay that I'm just honest with you guys? I was on my way driving down, and it was taking a lot. It was taking a long time. I checked Google Maps last night just before I went to sleep, and I was like, 1 hour 47. I was thinking to myself, well, I was thinking, Sylvia, this is going to be like a 50-minute journey, you know. I was like, I can change a 50-minute journey into a 30-minute or a 45-minute journey, you know. Amen. You got to get here on time sometimes, you know. But I was thinking to myself, this is going to be a long journey. And when I was driving down, I got a courtesy car, and I'm into my cars, if you guys didn't pick it up. And I really miss my car because I've got this sports mode. So when someone irritates me on the road, I can just stick into sports mode and, you know, just, you know, politely, with whilst keeping in line with the speed traffic control and everything like that, just, you know, get ahead of them and be like, yeah, I got ahead of you. But so this guy, I was coming into, it was like a 2-into-1. And I was traveling down, and he was actually stopped at the lights, and the lights turned to green. So instead of him just allowing me to just go past and before the lane changed into one, he decides to go into the middle of the lane. And I was just sitting there thinking, I'm just trying to get here to church, you know. And you've got all of these irritating people. I won't tell you what I did, but we'll talk about it after Sabbath. So this world that we live in, you know, so many sad things happen. So many bad things happen. And I'll be honest with you, church, I've been preaching for, 10 years now? And I go to church after church after church, and I see the same thing. And can I be honest with you guys? Actually, do you know what? This church is such a beautiful church. I really feel the presence of God here. You guys are so beautiful. But I've got to be real as well, because we live in this world, and there are, 7 billion people in this world? There are 7 billion people in this world, and the Bible says that this gospel is going to be spread to the whole entire world. And I'm sitting there thinking, we just have these services on a Sabbath, and our success is judged by the amount of people in church. And so if the church is full like it is today, this is deemed a good service. But all this is just a service. But where's the acts of service? And so it frustrates me, because I go to church after church, and I preach these messages, and I preach my heart out, and I'm thinking to myself, does this actually make a difference? Because this is the way, when I get down on my knees and I seek my Heavenly Father, the creator of this universe, I just want to see every single person in this world understand that God is real. I just want them to know that they are loved, no matter what they're going through, no matter what their circumstances, no matter what difficult situations they've had to go through in life. I just want them to understand that Jesus loves them. So today I've got to be real with you, to church. I actually don't want to be here. I want to be somewhere else. I want to be home. Can you imagine what it would be like being in heaven? There'll be no irritating people on the roads. Can you imagine what it would be like actually seeing Jesus face to face? Can you imagine looking into his eyes and having that connection and just feeling the uncontrollable love, the unconditional love that he has for us, where it's not about what we wear to church or how we walk or what grades we get, even though this is important in life, but it's just about our relationship with Jesus. The question is, do we know him? Your head's bowed, your eyes are closed. Let's talk to God. Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, I am absolutely not worthy, so I'm just asking that you wash my sins away, cleanse me, come into me right now, and I pray that one person will leave this building today changed. Nothing more, nothing less. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. What book did I say? What verse? You guys are good. Normally people get caught with when say 5. So that's Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. When you get there, say amen.
Amen.
Oh, you guys are quick. Right, and it reads, this, I like the King James Version. This I say then, run in the Spirit. Am I right or wrong? What does it say? So he says, walk in the Spirit, and you might not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Is that what the Bible says? What does it say? So it says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know what's amazing about the Bible? Is that you can spend months or even years just reading one verse, and every single night as you get down on your knees and you seek God and you ask God to reveal yourself to me, to you, something more about this text, God will just open up your mind. And I spent 3 months of my life about 5 years ago, just every single morning, every single night, I would read the same verse, and I was just seeking God. I was like, God, show me more, show me more, show me more. What exactly is it you're telling us here? Because the reality is that we go to church, and then we leave this church building, and then we are waiting for Sabbath to close, and then we'll check the football results, or we'll check the Grand Prix results. Happy Sabbath. Don't let your mind wander. Amen. And, you know, and what's it called? Then we'll go for our Sunday, and then we'll go to work on a Monday, the Tuesday, the Wednesday, the Thursday, the Friday. We're dealing with the same issues, the same people, the same irritating people on the road, and all these things. And then we come back to church, and we just do the same thing, week in, week out, week in, week out. And can I be honest with you guys? Because the Bible says this over here. But when I look at my life, man, I'll be real, I've got issues. I'm not proud of it. I'm not here to promote that. But, you know, I've got a bit of a temper. If someone irritates me on the road, I lose my rag. You know, when someone deviously, like, says something to try and provoke me, I get irritated. You know, I'm just being honest with you guys. You know, there are parts of my character that need ironing out, and that's what I'm seeking God daily to do. Amen? And I believe there's a change. I hope so. Sylvia, back me up. Yeah. So, where was I now? So it says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But, so the Bible is saying one thing, but then when we look at our lives, there are many, many mistakes and sins that keep happening over and over and over again. So I come to the conclusion, either the Bible is wrong, or we're wrong. So let's just take a look at it. So we've got us who are living our daily lives, constantly falling and getting back up and falling and getting back up. And then the Bible is here, and it's saying something very profound. And maybe it's not that the Bible is wrong or that God is lying. It's just that maybe we don't know God the way in which we should do. Because I do not believe the Bible is a lie. I believe these words are not just words, but these are God. This is God speaking to us, and I believe this is life. And I believe that when we spend time meditating on the word, this has a supernatural transformation. It happens within our hearts and within our minds, and the things that we used to do, we no longer do. So let's look at this text. It says, this I say then, walk. Let me ask you guys a question. It doesn't say run, it says walk. Are there any of you that are in a relationship? Married or in a relationship? Hands up. Hey guys, you, especially the men, you need to be like, yeah, I'm in a relationship, you know? Amen. Yeah. Ugh. Okay. So, can you, men, go on a romantic run with your partners? The women are like, you've got to speak up. Be real, come and talk to me. Can you go on a romantic run? But can you go on a romantic walk? Why? You can talk. Everything's slower, so you're not out of breath, so you can actually talk and you can actually listen, which is more important than talking, amen? I was expecting more of an amen then. Come on, ladies, amen? Amen. Okay, and so God is telling us, look, walk, and the Bible says, in the Spirit. So we have the beautiful Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Translated, Daddy, our big brother, our best friend. Didn't Jesus say that he sent the Comforter? You know, so that's the way I look at this, just me personally. That's the way I look at God. I see God as my Father, Jesus as my big brother, and the Holy Spirit as my best friend. And so God is telling us, look, this I say then, walk, don't run, but walk, i.e. take time with me. That's what he's saying. The one that spoke this world into existence, the reason why you're breathing in and breathing out through a process called inhalation, the reason why we're doing this is because he said so. The reason why we're here, the reason why you see the sky and you see the sun and you see all the vegetation and you see all these beautiful people around us, it's because God said so. So this God, this dude who spoke this world into existence, he's saying, look, walk with me, talk with me, take time with me. And by default, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's a bold statement. But maybe the reason why we don't live this is because we've never really spent time actually walking with God. Because when you're actually starting to get to know someone, when I started to get to know my girlfriend, I had to take her, well, not had to, I wanted to, there's a difference. I wanted to, don't report that back to her. I wanted to take her out to dinner. Spend time going for nice walks. Have you guys ever been to Virginia Waters? Beautiful place. And just talk and listen and laugh and joke and all of these things. And so you start to get to know someone, and then you start to realize that you've got things in common, and then you understand their sense of humor. And, you know, you start to get involved in this relationship on a whole deeper level, other than just physical, which is important, but there are more important factors. Amen? So this is how it works between a man and a woman here on earth. What about us and God? Because if our lives are simply just coming to church and then enjoying the weekend and then just going through our usual cycle, and there's no quality time with our Heavenly Father, what do you think is going to happen when the temptations do come? What do you think is going to happen when we spend, and I'm not here to say, don't watch TV and don't watch movies and stop listening to this music and stop going out and stop doing this and stop doing that. No. What I'm here to promote today is this. Spend a little bit of time with your Creator. Maybe try reading one chapter of the Bible in the morning and one chapter at night. Just start somewhere. One chapter in the morning and one chapter at night. Start in Matthew and just read it. And every time you read one chapter, just ask God, like, show me what this means. And each day, just start to take baby steps with God. And you will start to see a change in your life. I'm a testament to this fact. And so if our lives are filled with just having a big, busy day, you know, dealing with all these irritating people on the road and all these things, and you get home and then you're just tired and you're just sitting there watching the TV and wasting away your time, and then there is no time for God, I'm not going to tell you, you have to do this. Look at it from a different perspective. How about understanding that the Creator of this universe actually wants to spend time with us? How about understanding, taking a step back from our busy lives and understanding that the creator of this universe actually wants to just chill with us, actually wants to talk with us and walk with us, because this is what heaven is going to be about. Chilling with the creator of this universe forever and ever and ever and ever. And so everybody in this world is so wrapped up in the media and all of the music that they're promoting and the movies that they're promoting and the comedies which make us to laugh and sit and diminish God's actual principles. And I'm never here to say stop doing this and stop doing that. What I'm here to say is get to know Jesus. And by default, you will see that the decisions that you begin to make will be based around the fact that you're in a relationship with the creator of this universe. And you'll start to see there are certain things that you just don't want to watch anymore. And there are certain types of music that you just no longer want to listen to. When I was 16, I used to listen to 50 Cent and Ja Rule. I'm giving away my age now, Aloe Vera Gel. And all of these, you know, rappers and Jadakiss and Usher and all these guys. And amazing tunes. But when I started to read my Bible for myself, and I started to read about Jesus, and I started to read about the disciples, and I read The Great Controversy, and I started to read Ellen G. White's books and early writings and Patriarchs and Prophets and all of these things, my mind was blown away. And then when these things were being played, I was like, I just don't want to listen to that foolishness anymore, because all it is promoting sex and drugs and violence and a very negative and diminishing view towards ladies for men. Men are just seen as just these guys that just want to pleasure themselves. And I was thinking to myself, man, the principles that I hear in the Bible, Jesus was so different to everything that I'm seeing being promoted through Hollywood. I was just like, I prefer Jesus. Nobody could tell me to stop listening to this or stop doing it or something. I just got to know Jesus for myself. And I'm telling you straight, like, Jesus is on another level. Because no matter what I go through in life, church, no matter if I have a car accident or I lose my mom, which I did last year and it really hurt, but God is just with me. And I can't explain to you the feeling that I have, but I just have peace. I've got so many haters in my life and so many people that want to trip me up, but somehow God has just enabled me to see past their ignorance and see past their hatred and see past their jealousy and just love them. I can't explain to you what God does, but all I can see and all I can promote is just Jesus is on another level. Stop trying to come to church and stop trying to be a good Christian and stop trying to sing and stop trying to listen to the sermon and stop trying to be a good Seventh-day Adventist Christian and actually just walk with God and talk to Him. I want to share something with you. See, one time, a while ago, I was on my knees. And I was just seeking God. And one thing that I like to do is visualize, actually just seeing Jesus on the cross, dying for me. And it humbles me. It humbles me to the core. Because I, of myself, am arrogant. I'm selfish. I like my own way. I always think I'm right. I've got so many flaws, but when I look at Jesus, He breaks me every time. And I never forget when Jesus showed me this. I was just on my knees, and He put this thought in my head. Even before this world began, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, blessed, beautiful Trinity. God is omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. In other words, He is all powerful. He knows all, He sees all, He is everywhere. So He looked into the future. Even before this world began, even before He created this world, and He would have seen the world created perfect. Adam and Eve, perfect. But then God the Father would have looked ahead and seen the time where sin entered this world. He saw Eve eating from the tree which he said, don't eat from. His daughter. And that hurt him. And for the first time in the history of our Creator, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit felt pain. But the worst was still to come. You see, God the Father looked ahead and he saw Adam, him too, eating from the tree which he said, don't eat. And then sin really entered into the world. And a leaf fell from a tree. And such is the extent of sin on our minds. We hear about the shootings in Las Vegas. None of us have shed a tear. Yet Adam and Eve, Ellen G. White breaks down that they wept when they saw a leaf falling from a tree. Such is the effect of sin on our minds. God the Father looked a little further ahead and he saw Cain killing Abel, and he saw Eve holding Abel in her arms, and he felt the pain that she had felt even before he had created her. But God the Father looked even further ahead and he saw all manner of sin. He saw all manner of sexual immorality. Men lying with men and women lying with women and men lying with animals. And he saw gang rape and he saw pedophilia. He saw gun and knife crime. He saw shootings. He saw mass murders. He saw suicide bombing attacks. And he felt the pain of the mothers who had to witness losing their sons to these callous attacks. But the worst was still to come. He saw all the gossip, the things that we so often just overlook. He saw all the backbiting and all the pain that these words caused behind our backs. He saw all the jealousy and the envy. He saw people coming to church fake, pretending to worship him, but really just wanted the glory for themselves. And his heart was just troubled. But the worst was still to come, because, you see, God the Father had to look ahead and he had to see the time where his son, you got to understand that Jesus was in heaven with him at this moment in time, but he had to look ahead and he had to see the time where his son came out from heaven and onto this earth as a babe. And he saw one third of the angels that were at this moment in time with him in heaven transformed into demonic evil beings. He saw them licking their lips at the sight of our Savior coming down to this earth as a babe, innocent, helpless. He saw them mocking his son. He saw them bullying his son. But the worst was still to come. He saw his son growing up and growing in the spirit. But the worst was still to come, because he saw the time where he was put in front of Pontius Pilate. And then he saw the Roman soldiers beating our Savior, his son. Slap him in the face, mocking him, putting a crown of thorns on his head. But the worst was still to come. He saw the time where Jesus was about to be crucified. His son, the creator of this universe. And God the Father saw the time where the Roman soldiers laid out our Savior, pushed him to the floor. And one Roman soldier grabbing his left hand and another Roman soldier grabbing his right hand and slamming the hammer down onto the bolt, which crushed our Savior's flesh, crushed the bones, and saw the bolt straight into the wood. The same for the feet. And then he saw them thrusting lifting our Savior from the horizontal position into the vertical position. And he heard his son crying out in pain and agony as the pain flashed through his body. But the worst was still to come. When God the Father, I need you guys to understand something. Such was the relationship between Jesus and the Father. The pain couldn't kill him. The only thing that could kill Jesus was for God the Father to remove his presence from his son. And so the Bible states that Jesus cried out in pain and agony. The Bible states that he cried out, Abba Father! Abba Father, translated Daddy Father! Daddy Father, why have thou forsaken me? And Jesus died. His thoughts were for you and for I. Nothing more, nothing less. And all the Bible is telling us is, listen, just stop what you're doing. Slow down. Walk with me. Talk with me. And no matter what temptation is put in front of you, I'm telling you straight, I will protect you. Just focus on me. Just focus on me. See, a righteous man falls 7 times. How many times? But the key is that he gets back up. The devil wants to focus you on your faults. He wants to focus you on all the times that you've fallen. And all Jesus wants to do is for you to focus on him. That's the prayer today, church. That we just focus on Jesus. Amen.